first and foremost to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 3, Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 15, 17, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 3, as well as Old Testament Numbers, chapter number 23, verse 19. Amen. Nick, I may need you to refresh. I added two slides to our presentation on tonight. Once you have it, say amen. If you're still looking, say praise the Lord. If you're waiting for me to put it on the screen, say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Ow. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 15. Hallelujah. Declares unto us, Jesus replied, let it be so. Now, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. This is the account where John the Baptist is going to baptize Jesus in the river of Jordan. And he said it has to be done to fulfill the scriptures. But not only that, that all righteousness may be fulfilled as well. Hallelujah. Not only to declare and to solidify what the prophets had said, but also we want to make sure that all righteousness is fulfilled as well. Hallelujah. Then John consented. In other words, John decided to obey what the Lord had said. Verse number 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And that moment, somebody shout at that moment. At that moment, heaven was opened. When righteousness is fulfilled, heaven is open unto you. Y'all quiet. Somebody didn't jump on that. That the moment that righteousness is fulfilled, heaven is open. Jesus said, let this be done so, so that all righteousness may be fulfilled. And at that moment, somebody shout again at that moment. At that moment, heaven was open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, a lightning on him. That he saw this. Watch. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. God is pleased when righteousness is fulfilled in your life. Hallelujah. Jump over to Numbers. As you're turning there, know this. Things are subject to change. And then when righteousness is fulfilled in your life, one, you're going to get new hope. Somebody shout new hope. And you're going to get a new life. Somebody shout new life. New life. Numbers chapter number 23. Numbers chapter number 23 and verse number 19. God is not human that he should lie. Thank God for that. And not a human being that he should change his mind. One translation says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Repent is a change of mind and a change of purpose. Goes on to say, does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Let's pray yet again. Father, we thank you that things are changing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Slap high five with your neighbor on your way to your seat and say, things are subject to change. Hallelujah. Things are subject to change. In our brief time that we will have together, not only do I want to tell you about things that are subject to change, but I also want to tell you, be the subject of change. Hallelujah. Things are subject to change in your life, but you also have to be the subject of change. The subject of change. See, the subject means that it's the focal point. That when the subject is the main thing, then it means that it's, watch, when you become the subject of change, then you be the instrument or the catalyst that provokes change in the world. You have to be the subject of change. Watch. Jesus said this. He said this. He said, when you give, and when you pray, and when you fast, when you give and when you pray and when you fast. He changes the central focus of things, going away from, petty stuff. To now the central focus of change in you and I. And he says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast, be the change agent. Don't focus on the things that people are doing around you, but what about the change that's happening in you? See, that is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes into your life to fulfill righteousness. Now watch. It comes to fulfill what God's will is to manifest in your life. Hear me when I say that. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, it comes to fulfill God's will in your life. So even when it comes down to the way we give, the way we pray, and the way we fast, we do it according to God's will. Amen. And listen, I'm not knocking anybody. I participated and I participated on an annual basis. But the first of the year, many of us go into the Daniel fast, the 21-day fast. Come on. How many of y'all been there before, done it before? Yeah. But here it is. Even when we fast, we have to fast according to God's will, not according to our flesh. And a lot of times we fast according to what we're going through and not what God is trying to bring us to. Yeah, y'all quiet. So we fast because I'm going through something, and God, I'm going on this fast because I need a breakthrough. So I'm crucifying my flesh because I need to get out of the mess I've gotten myself into. So we fast most majority of the time because of what we're going through, not to fulfill righteousness, but just to feel right within ourselves. Y'all, come on now. Let's be honest. When you're going through, Lord, I need a breakthrough, Lord. I'm on a 7-day fast. I'm on a 10-day fast because I need you to move, God. And God's sitting back saying, I'll move when you move towards me. See, fasting is not trying to get you out of the mess, but it's trying to get you closer to the presence of God. And the closer you grow to him, the further you get away from your mess. The closer you get to him, the more you learn how to operate in the will of God. And you fulfill the righteousness of God. Why? Because fasting kills your flesh. And even if it doesn't get you out of your mess, it changes your perspective of your mess. That's what Job said. Job said, you know, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't understand what God is doing in my life. I don't understand what's happening in my life. But whatever it is, I still trust God. That's what fasting does for you. It puts you in a position or a posture to say, God, I don't understand what's happening. But whatever you're trying to do in this moment, God, I still trust you. Hallelujah. That is the fulfillment of God's righteousness. It's not for you to be right, but for you to be fulfilling the will of God for whatever it is that's happening in your life. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, subject to change. Things are subject to change when you change the subject. Hey, God. Things are subject to change when you learn to change the subject. Now, I'm no English fanatic, but when you change the subject of the thing, it puts now the light, the focus on that thing. So instead of me focusing on myself, I change the subject and focus on him. Amen. Instead of me focusing on, God, what I'm going through, God, what are you trying to get me to? What is your will in this scenario? What is it that you're trying to get out of me so that you can get in me? You ever been around people who, you know, just kind of get on your last nerve? Have you attracted people like that that just kind of agitate you on every... Y'all quiet. Amen. You may be sitting next to somebody right now. Amen. Get on your last... And watch. Sometimes you will attract those people because God is trying to get something out of you. Sometimes God will put people in your life just to agitate you, to get you into a different place in Him. You ought to thank God for the agitators. You ought to clap your hand when God began to agitate you and to irritate you. It's because He's trying to get something out of you because He wants to put something in you. And He first got to get it out you before He put it in you. Agitators. I'm like, God, why are you sending these? He said, I'm agitating you. Watch this, because sometimes we become complacent. Sometimes an agitator come in your life to push you to prayer. Sometimes an agitator come in your life to push you to fasting. Why? So you can fulfill the will of God. So you can learn how to love like God loves. How to forgive like God forgives. How to give, like how to do all of these things. And God will come and agitate you. Why? Because He's trying to get you to a place. Hallelujah. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. When you fast this way. The book of Isaiah tells us that this is the fast that the Lord calls. Isaiah 58. So I start off telling you, a lot of times we start the year off fasting, but it's really not the fast that the Lord calls. Amen. We're just doing it because it's just trendy. Amen. Now, again, I'm not knocking nobody. But we got to make sure that we're fulfilling the will of God. God, are you calling this fast or is it just something I'm just doing? God, are you stepping in or I'm just stepping out on my flesh and just trying to do what pleases myself or people around me? Amen. And then even when we pray, watch this. This is the fulfillment of the will of God. Jesus told the disciples. Now remember, they hung out with Jesus for almost 3.5 years. And as they walked with Jesus and saw miracles formed by Jesus, saw all of these great signs and wonders, of all the things that they saw Jesus do, they only inquired one thing of Jesus: to teach them how to pray. Isn't that something? They didn't ask Jesus how to heal the blind, how to raise the dead, how to walk on water, how to feed the multitude. They only had one question in their time of tutelage from Jesus: teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way: our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He says, when you pray, pray that the will of God be fulfilled in your life. That when you pray, don't pray for a Burger King prayer to have it your way, but pray the way God will have you to pray. Pray God's will for your life to be fulfilled. So even if I have to go through the fire, Lord, if it is your will, let me go through the fire. So whatever is consuming me, God, consume it. Whatever is holding me, God, send me through the fire so it can let me go. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, God, let your will be done through this matter. I was talking with a brother, a pastor friend of mine, and he went through a season in his life where cancer had come upon him. And as he was going through treatment, he said he would go to the hospital to get his treatment. And everybody was just enamored. They was in awe because every time he showed up with a smile on his face. Can you smile through sickness? Can you trust God through disease? And he said every time he would show up, he'd just be smiling and slapping high five with people, greeting folk. And they're like, "What? Why are you so happy?" He said, "Because I trust God. That even through sickness, If this is the will of God, I trust God through it all. Everybody loves the sunshine. But can you stand the rain? Everybody shout when the sun is out. But watch, in order to enjoy the rainbow, you got to go through a storm. You don't see a rainbow unless it's rain. People are excited about what God has done in their life and praise God for what he's doing in their life. But can you really praise God when you go through? Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way, that the will of God be fulfilled in your life. Pray that God's will be fulfilled. But watch, in order for his will to be fulfilled, it must first be revealed. I'm going to say that again. In order for God's will to be fulfilled, it must first be revealed. And the only way to get God's will to be revealed in your life is to know his will. Amen. So when I'm praying, I'm not praying the way I want to pray. I pray the way God says to pray. If I want to see manifested prayers in my life, I don't pray the way according to way I want to pray. I pray away the way God told me to pray. And that's to pray his will. Can I tell you something? His word is his. Because God is only obligated, hear me, saints, God is only obligated to answer to his word. He is only obligated to respond to what he said. Matter of fact, he said his word is so great, he couldn't find nothing else to swear by, but he swore by his own name. So when we pray God's way, which is his word and his will. And I know some of us have these eloquent prayers. I know I do it sometime too. Father, in the name of Jesus, most high, most eloquent, majestic God. And that's well and good, but what does his will say? What does his will say? Because the quickest way to get an answer from God is to give God what he said about your situation. So we got to have his will revealed in our lives. And the only way for that to happen is to know his word. Tell your neighbor, you got to know the word. You know another part to knowing the word? John chapter 1 says that in the beginning was the word. Verse 14 said, and the word came down and dwelt in flesh. And we beheld the glory, the only begotten glory of the Father. And here it is. In order to know the word, you got to know the person of the word. That's Jesus. Because if you don't know him, then your prayers are hindered. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Can I tell y'all something? I mean, we're just talking right now. I mean, because everything is subject to change, right? This is what the Lord has been dealing with me because, you know, we talk about religion. I want to help us out right here. And this just, it's just me and the Lord right now. This is where we are. We've come into a place in time now in the church where, especially the charismatic movement in Christianity, where we say, you know, we kind of like denounce religion. You know, we say, no, it's about a relationship. And it is about relationship. But I think God is bringing us from, to another phase in revelation, even in relationship. Because watch this, follow me. Friendships break up. Relationships make up. But here's the thing. Friendships break up. You have friends, y'all break up. But then when you're in a relationship, you make up. But that's something even greater, I think, that God is trying to bring us to, and that's kinmanship. Family. So whether you're in a relationship or a friendship, you can't break up from family. Good God Almighty. That ought to set somebody free right there. I don't care how much you don't like your family. You can't denounce your family. They still family. Oh, God. Some of y'all right now ain't liking that. You tell me I got to like Uncle Frank. You sure do. Amen. And God's trying to bring us into a place where, watch this, that we have this kinship with sons and daughters in the body of Christ, to where no matter how much wrong we do, God still loves you. So you say when you pray this way, that the will of the Father is done in your life. Jump over to Matthew chapter number 6. Very lengthy passage of scripture. I'll give you some commentary as we go along. Verse number 1 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in the front of others, to be seen by them. See, the subject here is you. The subject of the context of this scripture is you, that you don't do these things. That you don't practice what you do in front of everybody else. If you do, here's the consequence. Tell your neighbor that's a consequence. If you do, you will have no reward from the Father in heaven. Tell your neighbor things are subject to change. Tell your neighbor change the subject. Because if you don't change the subject and focus on him to where it's no longer your righteousness but his righteousness, you're in trouble. Good God Almighty. Because when the subject is you, it's your righteousness. And the Bible describes your righteousness as this, as filthy rags. Ooh, God. The real connotation of it is real nasty. We have one child, but she's sleeping, but I'll say it anyway. It is as a woman's sanitation rag. That's how nasty God denotes your righteousness and my righteousness as. That is as nasty, as gory, as filthy as that. God says your righteousness in his eyesight is that nasty. Tell your neighbor nasty. Yeah. Because when the subject is you, then God says you're nasty before him. When your life is centered and focused on you, then God says that's nasty. And he said you won't have no reward in heaven. So when you give to the needy, there it is. Jesus said, when you give, don't give this way. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue or on the streets, to be honored by others. In other words, what you do it with you in mind so that everybody else can see. He's not saying don't feed the hungry, don't give to them, but don't do it with the perspective of, I want people to see what I do. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, y'all posted on Facebook. Knows what he said. For the purpose of others seeing, to make you the subject. Oh, God. It's a hard issue. Tell your neighbor it's a hard issue. So are you doing it for the world to see, or are you doing it for God to be glorified? Well, that would sound hypocritical, because church on the levee, we post live. No, we're doing it for God to be glorified. So that the world will see and glorify God, not man. Oh, yeah. So he said, when you do this, don't be like the hypocrites in the synagogue on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Okay, men, that ain't for you to do and not tell your wife. Hallelujah. Women, don't give $1,000 to the church and not go home and tell your husband. Amen. But do give the $1,000, though. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse number 5. And when you pray, somebody shout, when you pray. Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Hallelujah. But when you pray, go into your closed door. Pray to who is unseen. Then your who sees what is done in will reward you. You know, you have more power in prayer in the closet than you do in the open. And the magnitude of the power that the believer has in prayer is when we go in secret. That's the power. So that when you come and you pray openly, what you have prayed in secret, the Father rewards. So now it is manifested in the open. Yeah. And right now the church is weak. Why? Because we love public prayer, but no private prayer. We come to church to hear from God when we should have heard from God. Oh, I'm going there tonight. But things are subject to change when we change the subject and stop focusing on us, because our private prayer time is more personal about the pains that we're going through, not about the purpose and the plan of God. A personal private time of prayer is, Lord, I'm going through, take me out of this. When it should be focused on the main subject. God, what is your will to be done? Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Talk to the Father about his plan, his purpose, and his will for your life. Matthew goes on to say that, you know, these things, don't worry about these things. The Father add them unto you. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33. Seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek his kingdom first. You know, his kingdom is his will. So it says, seek his will first and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be. So if I'm not seeking his will first, then I don't need to put my stuff first. Because if I put my stuff first, then I miss the will of God. We're out of order. Take your neighbor out of order. And anything out of order is dysfunctional. So now you're functioning in dysfunction. And the problem with dysfunction is, if you function long enough in dysfunction, it becomes the way you function. Say it slower. If you function too long in dysfunction, it becomes the way you function. And then the way you function becomes normal to you. So when somebody tells you that you're dysfunctional, you're like, no, I'm not. Amen. So when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. You know why? Because their words weren't the words of God. So they had a lot of words, but it wasn't God's will. Amen. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. I love those type of prayers that I prayed that I never said nothing, but God answered them anyway. You know those unspoken prayers that you pray? And God answers them and you said nothing. God knows what you need before you need it. So because he supplies all, somebody shout all. Because he supplies all your needs through his riches and glory, the need is already provided for. You just hadn't got to the need yet. That'll mess you up. So God knows what you need before you need it. So he provides the need before you need it. So by the time you need it, you just walk right into it. Good God Almighty. That's a good God. That he has already provided a way before you got in the way. He has already provided healing before the sickness even comes. And he says, when you pray, pray this way. When I pray, God, meet my needs. As you already know. So watch what happens is when you pray for a thing, God says, I already know the thing that you need. I've already provided for you. So prayer becomes a vehicle and a catalyst for you to hear the purpose, the plan, and the strategy of God for you to get what you're praying for. In other words, God gives you a roadmap to the promise. Oh, this is good right here. So prayer, people ask this question, well, why should I pray if God already knows? We pray like God already knows because he already knows, but God, we're praying so that God will know that we know he knows. Because it's according to your faith. Did y'all catch that? So the purpose of prayer is to tell God, I know that you already know and I trust the fact that you know. And I trust you. Because what's the point of prayer? Jesus didn't need to pray if God was going to do what he's going to do anyway. But it shows our trust and our faith in God. Are you with me? So the Father knows what you need before you even ask him. He knows. He knows your end from the beginning. He is Alpha and is the beginning and the little dash in between. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows all. So if God knows everything, he knows your needs. That's why things are subject to change, is because at any given moment, what God has already ordained for your life, you can walk into it. Whatever you're going through right now is subject to change. Why? Because God knows your need. Tell your neighbor, God knows. He knows, so things can change. And it's just like God in his manifestation and his glory, he is like Louisiana weather. Something to change any second. Come outside with a coat on, for a coat. Later on, you got to have rain boots on. Then you got shorts on. Then you got to throw a scarf back on. It's Louisiana weather. Look, God Almighty. So things are subject to change because God knows your needs. I done jumped all over. He said, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans. Because God knows what you need before you can even ask. Verse number 9. This then is how you should pray. He gives us an outline of how you should pray. He said, this is how you should pray when you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is the NIV. The King James says, in earth. The original translation says, in earth, as it is in heaven. So give us this day our daily bread. You know, God gives you exactly what you need each day. Hallelujah. The children of Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt and they're in the wilderness, God rains down fresh manna every day. But he gives them instruction. And the instruction was, is take only what you need for your household and for that day. If you took more than that, then the surplus would spoil, go rotten. But what I give you is enough. Somebody shout, it's enough. It's more than enough for you to be fulfilled that day. That's why he goes on and say, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has its own worries and its cares. Because what you have for today is sufficient. Amen. Amen. And we get in trouble with that because we try to hoard up and to collect more than what we need. And you know what that signifies to God? Is that you don't trust me with my tomorrow. Ooh, God. God, I can't trust you for my tomorrow. So I'm going to store up as much as I can today because I don't know how you're going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to try to gather as much as I can right now because I don't know if you're going to be the same God today that you're going to be tomorrow. Oh, God. That's why, you know, we jump from job to job. Whoever pay more. Ooh, I didn't hit some. I don't know where you're at in here, but I just felt that in my spirit. Boy, the next job that offer me more money, I'm gone. That's because you don't trust God with the job you have. Oh, y'all quiet. Did I step on your toe? Because if I trust God with a job that pays me $10 an hour, it'd be more than enough than a job that pays me $15 an hour. Well, the Lord wants me to increase. He does. But he also wants you to, he wants you to trust him even in the amount that you have now. Because if you're faithful of a little, if you can trust me with the little that I have provided for you, then I can give you more. But I got to know first that I can trust you with the little. Somebody shout, things are subject to change. Say, give us today our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we fall. Oh, we're going to skip that part because, you know, y'all can't handle that. I'm going to say that for the mature class. Forgive us our debts. How many of us have debts? You don't know what a debt is? How many of us have faults and wrongs that we've done others? And he says, watch. The faults and the wrongs that you have committed against somebody else, forgive me. But not only forgive me of the wrongs I've done, but forgive the wrongs that others have done too. Ooh. Father, forgive them, for they know not what. Said, that's a powerful prayer when you can tell your enemy, forgive him, because he really don't know what he's doing. He don't know who he's messing with. Saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is prayer. He said, for if you forgive other people, verse number 14, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So the subject shifts. He says, if you want to be the main thing and the focal point, then here's the subject shift and the change. That when you ask for forgiveness, give forgiveness. If you're going to be the main subject, then be viable in this scenario. TNA is subject to change when you change the subject. So if you're going to be the subject, then be the subject of change. Hallelujah. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. When you fast, ooh, Lord, that is. Do not look sober, as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now I know none of y'all do that. You look like you're losing weight, girl. I've been fasting. I need a breakthrough from the Lord. Man, you like you're going through right now, man. I'm on a fast right now. Amen. God says when you fast, don't even look like it. We can't wait to tell people, oh, I'm fasting. It's first 21 days, I'm fasting. I said, you don't tell nobody. It's between me and you. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Okay. It said, but when you fast, put all on your head. Amen. Freshen up. Take a bath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, wash your face. Comb your hair. Put your makeup on. Put the eyelash on. Not the long ones, but, you know. Hallelujah. So when you fast, don't even look like it. He said, so that it will be not obvious to others that you are fasting, but only your Father. Do it for the Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will do what? Amen. So it's three things Jesus deals with. Three things he deals with. Three things. Tell your neighbor three things. He deals first with what you have. God will always deal first with what you have in your life. Before he brings increase in your life, he's going to do evaluation of what you already have in your life. What are you doing with what you already have? Because you're ready for things to change, but God says, what kind of change do you have? Okay. What are you working with right now? What are you working with? What you have right now? Moses, what's in your hand? You're looking for something to change. Your enemy is after you. You're looking for change. What's in your hand? What you have? The debtors are after me and my sons. Woman, what's in your house? That's all I have. It's just a little cruise of oil. What do you have? God will always approach you and do evaluation of what's already, what he has already given you. If you're not doing nothing with the thing he has given you, don't expect nothing else from him. Oh, God. If you're not trying to do and operate with what God has given you, why are you asking for more? God, give me a bigger house. You ain't taking care of the little house you got. God, I need a new vehicle. You hadn't washed the vehicle you have in years. Hadn't changed all. Tires are bald on it. But you want a new car. I love y'all. And God will always deal with what you have. In order for things to change, then I'll be willing to change. Things are subject to change when you change the subject, because now, God, what I have is that I want to take what I have and I want to use it for your glory. God, what you have given me, I want to take the little that I have and I want to glorify you with that. So the subject changes from God, get me increased, to now, God, I want to increase your glory through everything you have given me. Y'all quiet. So Jesus deals with what you have, and then watch this. Secondly, he deals with what you do. What you do. Not so much as the fault you do, but the do you do to be righteous in him. Hear me when I say that. Because Christ is not focused on your behavior. Hello. Because his sacrifice paid the price for your behavior. Oh, God. He who knew not sin became sin. So he paid the price for what you do. So he's not dealing with what you do, but the reason why you do it. Woo, God. He said, when you pray, pray this way. Don't be like the hypocrites who pray in the street so everybody can look at them. When you give, don't give like they do. Not what you're doing, but the reason why you're doing it. Because I'm going to pay the price for your sins. That's paid for. But the question is why you're doing what you do. You have taken me out of the subject and have placed yourself there. You have taken me out of the place where glory belongs to get your own glory. See, I was supposed to be in that place where when you do it, I'm glorified. But you changed the subject. So now you're doing it so you could be glorified. People are running after platforms. Not to glorify God, but to glorify themselves. Tell your neighbor, change the subject. So what I do in order to glorify God. So he's going to deal with what you do. In other words, what is your motive behind it? What is your motive? What is your motive? Some disciples run up to Jesus as he sent them out. And they come back and they say, Jesus, it's amazing. Even the demons are subject to your name. He said, don't worry about that. Just be glad your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There were some other disciples that came up and they said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Healed in your name? Cast out demons in your name? You know how Jesus responded? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. In other words, you had some iniquity in your heart. What is the iniquity? The fact that they were doing it for their sake and not his. Yes. What was the iniquity, their motive behind doing what they did? Now, this will really mess the church up because God still used them even with impure motives. People still got healed even though their hearts were rotten. People got delivered even though their hearts were filled with. That God still used them, but he said, I'm still going to deal with what you do. Because of why you're doing it. What is your motive? Why do you pray the way you pray? Why do you serve the way you serve? Why do you give the way you give? Why do you do what you do? What is your motive? Because even in my servitude, why do I serve? Am I trying to get brownie points with God? Am I trying to make sure I stay right with God? Why do I pray the way I pray? I want to make sure that God hears me, that people know that I'm a child of God. Why do I do what I do? Oh, God. Why do I give? Do I give? Watch this. Just to get a harvest? Oh, okay. Do I sow a seed to meet a need? What's my motive? What's my motive? Jesus is going to deal with what you have and what you do. And watch this, thirdly, he's going to deal with what you are. Not who you are. What you are. What is your what? What are you? What are you? Are you a child of the Most High God? What are you? Are you sanctified or a sinner? What are you? And he's going to deal with what you are. Watch, again, not what you do, but what you are. Because when you came into this world, you were formed, shaped in iniquity. So you came in this world a sinner. Newsflash, that's news for you. You were a sinner before you ever sinned. That's what you were. But that's not who you are. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. It's not what you are anymore. But if you constantly view yourself as what you are, watch this, based upon what you do, then you never find out who you really are. Did y'all catch the flow? If you're always worried about what you do and what you have done, then you never really catch of who you really are. It's not what you are anymore. It's who you are. Subject change. Who am I in Christ? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What you are. Subject change. Tell your neighbor the subject's changing. Watch this. The changes you make may be the change someone needs. I'm going to write that down again myself. My soul got happy on that one. The changes you make may be the change that somebody needs. And the problem with the believer is we don't want to change, but we want things to change around us. We want people to fit who we are instead of us fitting to the way God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Single women, don't be missionary dating. I'm going to change here. Oh, God. That's a good man. He got a job. He just needs a couple little tweaks. I'm going to get him to church, girl. I'm telling you. He ain't a man of God, but he's going to be a man of God when I finish with him. But what if God is trying to change you? And if he changes you, then maybe they will change. But he's got to get the change in you first. And that change can be possibly the change that somebody needs. They're watching. Tell your neighbor they're watching. I always feel like somebody's watching me. They're watching. They're watching the change in you. And somebody's waiting for you to change so they can change. Hallelujah. Are you responsible? Hallelujah. You know what maturity is? It's taking responsibility. And Ephesians says that we should grow or we should mature in the faith for the equipping or the edifying of the believer. So in other words, I take on more responsibility. So my life is no longer my life. So I live my life to glorify God so that others can see my walk and their walk change. So I won't be a stumbling block for somebody. I was sharing with the brother earlier, you know, it's been 22 years since I had a drink. Clean and sober 22 years. Good. Y'all ain't got to clap. I clap myself. Amen. I clap every day. Thank God for it. 22 years. So, but watch. My life belonged to him now. Now, I'm going to really shake up the church tonight. The Bible don't say nothing about drinking taking you to hell. Drinking will take you to hell. Says if you're going to do it in moderation. And don't do it unto drunkenness. But my life don't belong to me. So if I take a drink and it causes somebody else to stumble, then I bet not take a drink. Because my life don't belong to me. So if I hang out with my buddies who've been sober for 30 years and they see me take a drink and they feel it's okay because you're Apostle Richard. If he can drink, surely I can drink. Because my life don't belong to me. So the subject changes from my wants to his wants. So the subject changes from what makes me feel good to what pleases God. Y'all quiet. Subject change. Things are subject to change when you change the subject. Amen. So if you decide to do it, that's on you. But are you responsible enough to handle it? Oh, God. Are you mature enough to put away some of your freedoms for the sake of others? Because Galatians says, don't get entangled with those freedoms. You're free, but don't allow those freedoms to entangle you and ensnare you back into sin. Amen. I could possibly handle one, but I don't know what happened after the one. Oh, it get real right up in here. So why would I chance it? Hallelujah. This is my convictions. You got to know what you can handle. And you got to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you. Because I ain't peeping through your window. I see you over there, Todd. What you doing? You better live right. The Lord gonna get you. It's called this conviction of the Holy Ghost. Let the Spirit of God deal with you. But the subject changes when I change the subject to where it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives. The subject has to change. That it no longer comes about me, but it comes about him. The subject has to change. I know y'all like this kind of preaching because it takes away from your own self-desires. God, I desire more and to live my life the way I... See, preaching like this is uncomfortable. Because it challenges the believer to say, listen, it's not about you anymore. God don't bring you to church so that he can make sure that your life is okay. You're here tonight and every other night and on Sundays is so that you can fulfill the will of God. And such is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is made of righteousness. And righteousness is the fulfillment of God's will for your life. It's not what you do. It's about the fulfillment of God's will. Are you hearing me? Okay. So you may be the change that somebody needs. Be the subject of change. Tell your neighbor, be the subject of change. Hebrews, we're almost done. Hebrews chapter number 13. Matter of fact, I think I am done. Verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And forever. Say that with me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Tell your neighbor in that part. Watch this. Changes you make today will influence the way you live tomorrow. The change you make today would influence the way you live tomorrow. If you don't make some changes today, then you're going to get the same thing tomorrow that you got today. If you're constantly the subject of the matter, then tomorrow you're going to be the subject of the matter. It's called self-centeredness. It's called selfishness. So now every day you wake up until you have a subject change, it's going to be all about you. Then you find yourself lolling into a pity party. Oh, woe is me. I'm going through da-da-da. And watch. You spend more time focusing on what you're going through than what God wants to bring you through so that you can help somebody else get through. You know everything you go through life has a purpose assigned to it? Your pain has purpose. Your mess has a message. That when you go through it, God says, I'm bringing you through that so you can have some experience that when you encounter somebody else going through it, you can share their experience with them. Amen. Say it a little louder. Amen. I was about to say it black and you're proud, but amen. Amen. He says, comfort those with the same comfort of which you have been comforted with. Help those with the experience that you have so that they won't experience the same level of pain and punishment that you experience. I wish I would have listened to my parents a long time ago with some of the advice they gave me. Good God Almighty. I would have avoided so much stuff and so much mess in my life. I wish I would have took hold and heed to the wisdom of the elders that were given to me. I would have avoided a whole lot of mess. I wish my 22-year-old could hear this message tonight. You know, because when you're 16, 17 years old, you think you know everything. And the world is against you. Why? Everybody always against me. It's just me against the world. And we share wisdom with them because we've been there, done that. Hallelujah. Been 17 twice now. Three times. He said, working on my fourth. Yeah. So I got a little experience. Amen. So if I tell you not to go left, because at the end of going left is destruction, you might want to heed. Hallelujah. If I tell you that a life filled with waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, getting drunk, 12 o'clock in the evening, getting drunk in the afternoon, getting drunk, at 3 o'clock getting drunk, 5 o'clock getting high, that that's bad for your life, you ought to listen. Pastor don't want me drinking. No, I don't want you to experience the consequences of you drinking.
That's it.
That's it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Y'all quiet right there. Amen. I love you. The changes you make today will influence the way you live on tomorrow. The changes you make. How can you expect change if you're not willing to participate in the change you're expecting?